You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
Well, good evening, church. How's everyone doing tonight? Good? Great? Awesome? Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to stand here tonight and preach from God's word to you all. As you all know, Pastor Ian and Sister Faye are out of town this weekend, and they are serving at a church retreat this weekend. So let's remember to keep them in our prayers as well, that lives would be changed by the power of the gospel even there. This weekend has been wonderful so far, right? The weather has been beautiful, right? The sun has been out. If you guys haven't, you know, had a chance to go outside yet, make sure this long weekend, you know, you take at least some time to enjoy this nice weather that we're having. Because honestly, in Toronto, you never know how long it's going to last, right? So, well, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. But before we dig in, I just wanted to ask you all a question to kind of get you guys thinking a little bit. How many of us are comparison shoppers? That is, when you look up an item either online or on a flyer that you want to purchase, you kind of look at similar items and you compare them. I know I'm guilty of this. Oh, I got a few hands here and there. That's awesome. Okay, honest people. It's becoming so common now. Even, you know, companies like Amazon, they know. They make it so readily available to us to compare. The other day, I was comparing models of coffee machines. We already have a coffee machine. I have no idea why I was comparing models of coffee machines. Maybe it's because it's just a good value, a good deal. And maybe it's because I'm addicted to coffee. I don't. One of the two, we'll, you know. But I think we can all relate in that. And we tend to do this as a society. We compare things like even food labels. We compare brands, and we compare these star ratings that are on the internet. And we even compare calories, like when it comes to food. But we do this because we want to make an informed decision, an informed choice. And so in that vein, Joshua in our text, Israel's fearless leader, he's challenging the next generation of Israelites to make a choice before he passes away. It's a choice that everyone is going to have to make, even you and I. And so if you have your Bibles open, let's stand together in the reading of God's word. Here at the church, we honor the Lord in the reading of God's word, and so we stand. So if you have your Bibles open, Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to be reading from verse 14 to 28. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who has brought us up, us and our fathers up from the lands of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the same way we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples and the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn to you and do harm and consume you, having done you good. Verse 21, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he has spoken to us. Therefore it shall be a witness to you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can stand here and hold your word, the very word that you have preserved and that you protected, God, so that we can have a glimpse into your infinite wisdom, that we can understand what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. So we thank you, Lord. Lord, as we look to your word tonight, would you give us ears to hear and then minds to understand it, Lord? And then, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts so that we would live out these things for your fame and for your glory. God, that we would not just be hearers of your word, God, but doers of your word. And then, Lord, for the one in this room or the people in this room that haven't put their trust and faith in you, I pray, God, that tonight be the night that you show them through your word who Jesus Christ is. And then for us as followers of Christ, help us to understand that it is because of you that we can have wise choices, that we can make wise choices in this life that you have given to us. And God, we pray that you would be glorified on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, we know that you go before us and that you'll have your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight I'm preaching on the topic of wisdom. On the topic of wisdom, particularly, I'm going to be speaking on making wise choices. And so I thought it was fitting to title this sermon, "Choose Wisely." Choose wisely. This chapter concludes the life and the reign of Joshua. Joshua, we know, was the appointed leader at the time by the Lord to succeed Moses. And he's done this at this point for quite some time now. And so we are at this portion where he is towards the end of his life. And he's explaining to the next generation of Israel the great care and the pains that he took to ensure that the people of Israel stay in the one true faith and worship the one true God. In order to do this, what he did was he called together this general assembly of the heads of Israel, and he dealt with them by telling them a story, recounting all the great things that the Lord has done for them, reminiscing on all the great things that God has done. And he wanted them to consider to continue to worship this one true God. And he does this by making it their deliberate choice. They have to choose. No one else was going to make that choice for them. And so this challenge that Joshua is presenting is of vital importance, especially to the young, this young generation, because they have been granted so much that they haven't worked for, that their forefathers have worked for, that the Lord has given them. How many of us can relate to that? I know my parents toil for my brother and myself, our lives, and I know we can all relate in that. And so he placed before Israel a choice that we all must take. Just because your parents follow the Lord doesn't mean that you are necessarily saved. Your faith is your own faith. It's a decision that you'll have to make on your own. Every day we make choices, right? Some of them are major, some of them are minor choices. But I would say even the minor ones are very important. They're extremely important. But church, before we can even begin to decide to make these decisions, to even begin to make wise decisions, we need to understand one thing and one thing very clearly. Humans, all humans, have a human nature. We have a tendency, we have a natural disposition towards sin, a natural inclination towards sin. In other words, we are prone to choose sin over God. Unfortunately, that is the truth. This is the disposition that we inherited from our forefathers, from Adam, that through one man, sin entered the world. And so right off the bat, we know that because we have this nature, because we have this inclination towards sin, the decisions that we make are often unwise. The natural man will always choose the things of the world over the things of God. Wait, Benji, so if that's the case, if we have this natural disposition towards sin, then how can we ever make wise choices? That's a good question, church. Thanks for asking it. Well, when we look at Proverbs, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And for the unbeliever, that fear is the fear of judgment, the fear of eternal separation from a holy God. And you can read more about that in Luke 12:5 or Hebrews 10:31. But you see, for the believer, it's quite different. The fear is something much different. The believer's fear is a reverence. It's a reverential fear. Hebrews 12, verse 28 to 29 has a good description of this. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." This reverence and awe is exactly the type of fear of God that we should have as Christians. This is the motivating factor for us to surrender to the Creator of the universe. Proverbs 9, verse 10, that's what I was just mentioning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And until we understand who God is and develop a reverential fear for Him, we cannot have true wisdom. True wisdom only comes from understanding that God is holy, that He is just, that He is righteous. Dear church, that is the beginning of the gospel message that we preach here all the time. That God is just, that He is righteous, that He is holy. And the rest of the gospel message says that this holy and righteous God reconciles a sinful people to Himself for the praise of His glorious grace through Jesus. And so that leads me to my first point in this sermon. In order to make wise choices, we must, number one, abide in Christ. We must abide in Christ. In John 15:5, we read that Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. If we remain in Him and He in us, we will bear much fruit. And this fruit, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. When we abide in Christ, we are then given the Holy Spirit that enables us to be loving, that enables us to be joyous, that enables us to be peacemakers, to be patient, to be kind, to be good, to be faithful, and to have self-control. Ephesians 1 verse 17 says, "The spirit of wisdom and revelation has been given to us." That's right. The only reason why these wise choices are within reach is because of Jesus. It's because of Him. Jesus Himself, we know, is the wisdom of God incarnate. We know this because the scriptures tell us this. Jesus was filled with wisdom. Luke 2 verse 40 says, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." The same chapter, verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." It says in Matthew 13, verse 54, that crowds marveled at the wisdom of Jesus. When you look at Solomon, right? Israel's wisest king. Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 42, that the one greater than Solomon is here. Jesus was wiser than even Solomon. What about Paul, right? The most renowned apostle, the author of the 13 epistles, right? We preach from so often at church. Even this wise Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, he too agrees that Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. In Colossians 2, verse 3, he writes, "In him all wisdom is hidden." Even when Jesus delivered truth, whether it was to the disciples or whether it was to the Pharisees, he did it in the most wisest manner. He was a great storyteller. He spoke in parables. Let's take a look at one of those parables. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. This was the parable about the wise man and the foolish man who built their houses. Verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, wisdom is listening to what Jesus says and then actually doing it. And in this teaching, Jesus was telling his followers that the man who builds his house on the rock, on the foundation, is the wise man. And there are many places in the Bible where Jesus is considered this rock. He is considered the cornerstone, the rock of our salvation. And when we walk in relationship with Jesus, he will guide us in knowledge and understanding to build our lives around this strong foundation of his wisdom. We should always be listening to Jesus. When we follow Jesus and walk in his ways, we will then have this wisdom and point others to his truth. Even when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he showed wisdom. Jesus was also wise when he trusted God the Father. When things looked very tough for Jesus, he still abided by the Father's will and accomplished what God had wanted him to do. And so Jesus' work as a wise worker ultimately led to his redemption, to our redemption. And what I don't want to do in this sermon is simply just add Jesus to the end of this moralistic sermon and say, be good, do all these things, and then tell you, no, well, you can't, so turn to Jesus. I don't want this sermon to be like that, because when the Bible describes wisdom, it talks about the wise man and the foolish man. When the Bible describes wisdom, it describes character. It describes Jesus. And so that's why my first point is abide in Jesus, because all the other points only make sense once you have him as your foundation, as the cornerstone, as the rock. As I was saying, the verses in the Bible that describe character describe Jesus. And it not only describes him, it also describes those who belong to him. The men and the women, us, who are in union with him, He is the true vine. We are the branches. If we abide in Him and He in us, then and only then can we have wisdom. The Bible describes Jesus as our model, as our Redeemer, as our strength. And since Jesus enables by grace and He redeems by grace, then we have this opportunity to live wisely, to choose wisely. You might ask, what about the Old Testament believers? What about them? How are they saved? Jesus wasn't around then, was He? Jesus was in the Old Testament, but I think that's a topic for a different day. But what I can summarize is those in the Old Testament look forward to the cross, and us in the New Testament look back at the cross. In Hebrews 10, we can see for the Old Testament believers that even the sacrifices of animals that they would do to atone their sin wasn't enough. And so back to the question, how are the Old Testament believers saved? Well, I would say, if you look at the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus says, for one to be born again, one must be born of the Spirit. And so if you ask the question, I would say the same way a New Testament believer is saved. By the work of the Holy Spirit, producing faith and repentance in the promised Christ that was seen as a shadow. So brothers and sisters, for those of you who haven't made that choice tonight, who haven't made that choice to choose Jesus, I urge you that you abide in Him. Will you follow Jesus or not? Will you be His disciple or not? Or will you refuse to accept this gracious offer of salvation that He presents to us? Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 reads, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Trust me, this is one of the most important decisions that you're going to have to make. It will determine your place in eternity. It will have a bearing on every other single decision that you make. Once you abide in Him, once you are a follower of Christ, then you will be concerned about doing His will and not your own. So once we come to this understanding that wise living is within reach because we abide in Jesus, we're able to make decisions. Wise decisions in all areas of our life. When it comes to your career, when it comes to choosing a spouse, when it comes to choosing where to live or where to go to school. It's a testament to the Holy Spirit at work that once we are saved, we now have this comforter, this guide, this teacher that we can walk by and walk into to help us make these decisions. How you make choices will ultimately determine your course and successes in life. Here are some helpful examples, I guess, or guidelines in making choices. One, don't make impulsive or rash decisions. You can read about that in Proverbs 20:25. How about this one? When you're making a decision, make a decision. Don't be indecisive. Matthew 5:37 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." How about this one? Don't procrastinate, right? Romans 12:11 says, "Work hard and do not be lazy." Next one, apply good sense, reason, and logic. Isaiah 1:18 tells us to come together and reason. How about this one? Make all choices with God in mind using His standard. That one's a tough one because there's always this constant struggle between good and evil, between the ways of the world or the ways of God. And we read about this in James chapter 3. James was, of course, Jesus' brother. Jesus had a brother, guys, in case you didn't know. And he compares the wisdom of God with the wisdom of men. of the world. And so in verse 13 it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So it's my prayer that we as a people would be wise, that we would be a people that would have godly wisdom and not earthly wisdom, that we would be a people that are not bitter, not jealous, not angry or selfish, but that we would be a people that have godly wisdom, that bear much fruit. So back to choices, right? What an interesting topic, making wise choices. At the end of the day, when we make choices, we are accountable for the choices that we make. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." Sounds easy enough, right? To make wise choices? It's not. Let me give you a reality check. Let's look at some of the major choices that you're going to make in this lifetime. Number one, choosing who your friends will be, the people you surround yourself with. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Peer pressure is a real thing, guys. It affects our habits. It affects our romantic relationships. Having close friends can be a great blessing, but having the wrong friends can be a curse. How about schooling, right? Deciding what area you want to study, how far you want to go in your studies, and are you going to be wise about that? Are you going to consider God in that choice? How about choosing a job? I think even the world thinks that this is vitally important. We know that the job market is always changing, that people, the large majority of people, are unhappy with the jobs that they're at. And so this is an important choice. The wrong choice can lead to financial ruin, can lead to hardship, and more importantly, it can have a lasting effect on your marriage, on your family, and on your service to the Lord. So make the choice to honor God first. Put Him first, and then you will be blessed. Because Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If making money is the primary factor towards your job, we are told in 1 Timothy 6, that destruction will follow. That was the verse that we looked at when I was preaching on the contentment that we have in Christ. How about marriage, right? For those who choose this route, this choice is going to determine to a large extent your happiness in life. Proverbs 12:4. It's going to have a permanent bearing on the children that you decide to have, right? On their emotional well-being. You might think that it's simple to just divorce a person if the choice was a bad choice. But you can't undo who that child's father and mother is. That's going to have a bearing on the children. Children are not unaffected by divorce. And so we understand that that displeases the Lord. How about choosing where to live, right? When you look at Genesis, we look at the life of Lot. Do we know who Lot is? He's Abraham's nephew. When he was deciding where to live, he looked at the Jordan Valley, and it looked like a sound business decision. He looked at the valley, and he was like, wow, there's a lot of land here. It looks great. There's so much water in this land. It looks awesome. But in the back of his mind, he knew that that place was Sodom. He knew that those people were wicked. But he made it the wrong moral choice. So coming back to choosing where to live, is it solely based on what type of house you can afford, how close it is to work, how close it is to school, etc.? Or are you actually considering whether it'll help your service to the Lord and to His church? For every action, there is a reaction. For every choice, there is a consequence. So ask for wisdom. How do we make wise choices? Yes, abide in Jesus, number one. Abide in Jesus, number one. But we can also make wise choices by number two, seeking godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. In James 1, verse 5 to 8, he promises to give us wisdom to those who ask in faith. And in Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 9, he reminds us that asking for wisdom requires diligence. It requires persistence. So I urge you to be consistent in your prayers. Fill your prayer requests asking for wisdom and to make wise choices. Look at Solomon. He asked for wisdom. When you read 1 Kings 3, verse 5 and verses 9 to 12, we can see Solomon asking for wisdom. Verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And in verse 9, he says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleaded the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall be after you." Wisdom is one of the most important gifts that we can have given by God. And so Solomon, we understand, was called by God, and he needed some help in being a king, in running his kingdom. And so Solomon asked for wisdom instead of asking for material possessions and riches. And God understood and helped him understand what was right and what was wrong. God continued to bless Solomon, and he actually became one of the most successful kings, one of the most prosperous kings. And so when we come against a situation where we don't know how to navigate our lives around, God is willing to give us the gift of wisdom to make the right choices. So yes, you can seek godly counsel, right, through your prayers. But you can also seek godly counsel through fellow believers. Ask for advice. Proverbs 11:14 says, "There is safety in having many counselors." Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "There is wisdom in heeding the counsel of others." Guys, we may have older, more mature Christians, even in this room, that can help you make informed decisions, to make wise choices. Don't hesitate to ask others what they would do in a particular situation. There's so much wisdom in our fellow believers. Why wouldn't we take advantage of that? We can also seek godly counsel through Scripture, right? We can turn to God's Word, especially a book like Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Not only that, we can learn from the mistakes of the Bible characters before us. When you look at this life of Lot that we were discussing before, he made the wrong choice and chose the wrong place to live. And as a result, he faced such consequences, bad consequences. He faced war and kidnapping. We read in Genesis 13 that the kings at the time were at war. He faced oppression and torment by the people of Sodom. And then he lost all his possessions. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. His daughters fell into the lusts of the city, and he committed one of the most gravest of sins. So Lot is not someone we should be looking up to, but we can learn from the choices in his life. How about David, right? David, he chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And as a consequence, what did he suffer? The death of his infant son. His daughter was taken advantage of by his son. That son was killed by a vengeful brother. And a rebellion led by that son against David, who shamed him publicly, brought him even more grief, brought David even more grief when he had died as well. So yes, we can learn from Scripture about those who have made mistakes. We can learn to make wise choices in that way. But we can also learn about those in Scripture that have made the right choices, right? Because making the right choices can often lead to great blessing. When we look at the life of Moses, for example, in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." You see, his choice seemed foolish by his peers. And sometimes when we make choices, they might be foolish to our friends when we're trying to serve the Lord. But because of his choice, because of Moses' wise choice to live that way, he is considered one of God's greats, right? The GOAT, greatest of all time. He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't think too many people have that under their belt. In Revelation, it says people will sing about him, about Moses. What a great example we have to follow. How about the life of Jesus, right? We can look to him as an example of wisdom. We talked about this a little earlier. He made a choice that brought blessings to all, that brought redemption for us. He chose to come down to this earth to live as a man and lay down his life. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father." John 10, verse 17 to 18 says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." Jesus made this choice. We can learn from his wise choices. "I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Amen. Jesus' choices brought great blessing. So be wise in your choices. Let's not be like Lot and make unwise choices, unwise decisions. When you make an unwise decision, don't continue in it. Don't continue in it. If you have a pride issue or an ego issue, just let it go. Don't continue in your unwise decisions. Don't feel sorry for yourself or guilty. Just do something about it. Seek wisdom. Seek godly counsel through prayers, in the Scriptures, through fellow believers. So how do you make wise choices? Yes, we abide in Jesus, right? We seek godly counsel. But then I would say number three, in order to make wise choices, we entrust them to the Lord. Entrust your choices to the Lord, trusting that you have made choices pleasing to Him. Put them in His hands. Aren't they better in His hands anyway than in your own faulty hands? Give them up to the Lord. Give them up to His will. In Psalm 37, 5 to 6, it reads, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Psalm 37, 23 to 26 reads, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands. I have been young and now am old, yet I have seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing." So entrust your choices to the Lord. He's better off with them anyways. Make your choices with this understanding that if the Lord wills. James 4, 13 to 15 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Verse 15, instead you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that." Commit them to the Lord. You might even ask the Lord to show you when it's not His will. Ask Him to make it frustrating for you, to show you exactly what His will is. Include God in your decision-making process. Then and only then can we make wise choices. So commit your choices to the Lord. Entrust your choices to the Lord. It's important. It's really important to be a person of commitment. Proper choices without commitment are meaningless. Because when you have a lack of commitment, bad things happen. Marriages fail. People drop out of school. People forsake the Lord. People stop serving in their churches because there's a lack of commitment. Nowhere is commitment more important than in spiritual matters. You see, the world will allure us. The world will tempt us. The world will entice us. Friends will try to make us to compromise on things. But you must commit. You must press on by the power of the Holy Spirit. Commit your plans to the Lord. Well, I'm going to close here, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You see, Joshua, he challenged the Israelites with a choice. And I want to present you with that same choice. Brothers and sisters, will you continue to live the life that you live in sin and rebellion towards a holy God? Or are you going to abide in Jesus? I urge you to choose wisely, to choose Jesus. By His Spirit, we can become wiser at making decisions. We can become wiser at making choices in our lives for Him and with His will in mind. So why not be an example and do that tonight? But for those of you who have already put their faith and trust in Christ, for those of you who are already abiding in Jesus, let me ask you a question. Are you making wise choices in your life? The friends you surround yourself with, the decisions that you make, where to live, what school to study at, what job to take. Are you involving the Lord in these decisions? Are you seeking godly counsel, whether it be in Scripture or through prayer, or through the advice of fellow believers? Are you entrusting your decisions to the Lord? Are you committing your choices to Him? If you aren't doing these things, and you consider yourself a follower of Christ, then I'd say it's time to check your heart. It's time to check your heart. Let tonight be the night where you come to the Lord in true repentance. Let's start involving the Lord in our decisions, in the small things, in the things that we even consider that we think are minor. Let's involve the Lord. Let's bring them at His feet for His glory. Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Father, we thank You that because of You, we can make wise choices. We thank You, Lord, for Your word tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, in the areas that we need conviction, that You would convict, God, myself included. Lord, that we would not just go about and do our own thing and live our own way and live in rebellion against You, God. Help us to abide in You, Jesus, we pray. Lord, that we would seek godly counsel, that we would entrust our choices to You, God, so that You would ultimately be glorified through our lives. God, even in the minor decisions, even in the decisions that we don't think are important, I pray that we would consider these things, that we would choose You over the world, that we would choose You, God, the one true God, the God of Moses, the God of Joshua, the God of Israel, the God of this church. We pray these things and we thank You, God, for listening to our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus, Your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.